Good morning. Okay, I'm Sandra Southard. I'm going to be presenting today on a community outreach project that was part of our public health training center, our Rural South Public Health Training Center. And some of the names you see here are some of my colleagues who are involved with this project. The objectives of my presentation, I'm going to discuss a little bit of the issues surrounding HIV/AIDS transmission among the prison population, our process of developing a three-part video to increase education awareness around the issues of HIV/AIDS, and most importantly, demonstrate the importance of community collaboration when you are involved in the community outreach projects. First of all, I wanted to tell you that this was part of a collaboration with the University of Florida College of Public Health and the Florida A&M University Institute of Public Health, where I'm from. And the two people you see at the bottom are the PIs from UF and my Dr. Cynthia Harris out here, who's a PI from Florida A&M University. And the center is designed to train public health workforce to better serve medically underserved counties in Florida, especially those in the rural areas, with a special emphasis on the needs related to HIV/AIDS. One of the important things about the community that we particularly chose, and we've been working with this community for several years, but there were some specific issues that they kind of came forward to us that they wanted us to help them out with. And we were, of course, thrilled to do it because we do train our interns, which we have our Master of Public Health interns, so we had this opportunity to work with this community. And some of the things that they were concerned from was certainly backed up by the literature. Although rural areas account for 10% of the HIV cases, a lot of the areas in the South, where we're from, are disproportionately affected, particularly those among the African American population. Another issue they were concerned about as they were working with the prison population was, even though like men who have sex with men account for just 2% of the population, it accounts for almost 61% of all new HIV infections. Another issue that they were also concerned about, which is backed up by the literature, is that black women are the fastest growing population group being infected by HIV, which accounted for about 70% of female cases in 2012. Our collaborating agency in this particular community that we were working for was Redeemed Incorporated, and they're contracted with the prison system to offer HIV testing. Everybody has to be tested for HIV when you go into the prison system, and then again when you come out of the system. So they do the HIV testing and the counseling. They also do substance abuse interventions for the prison populations, because quite a few of them have that problem with substance abuse, and they're required to go through about a 12-week intervention for that. So the main concerns for this particular community was the prison releasees who were tested positive for HIV/AIDS were putting their wives and girlfriends at risk, you know, when they left the system and went back home. A lot of times they were tested for HIV and were negative when they went into the system, but when they came out, they were tested positive. And even though they were given information on getting treatment and counseling, they still pretty much left and went home, and they felt like there were quite a few that was not informing their significant others of their status as far as HIV. So they felt there was a need for prevention for spread of this type of HIV. Also, there was a problem within this community that many of the individuals that were HIV/AIDS positive had a tendency to self-medicate with illegal drugs and alcohol. Now keep in mind, this was our first interviews and discussions with this particular agency to find out what they felt the issues that they were confronting and that they wanted, you know, some help with. So these were some with this particular agency, and they were worried with people self-medicating themselves with drugs and alcohol, then that is a further risk. So this is, I just kind of developed a little bit of model to tell you kind of the process that we went to start developing this particular educational video. We, first of all, we had our interns. We had 7 Master Public Health interns that were going to be helping on this project, and they had to be trained, and that's one of the important things for our Public Health Training Center, is to train the interns. Of course, we had to go through IRB approval, and of course, you know, working with the prison system, you have to make sure you get IRB approval for everything that you do, because we were going to be conducting focus groups with some of the people in the prison populations, people in the community, pretty much anyone that could be involved that could help us out on developing this particular video on what do they, were they also agreeing that these were the issues that should be you know, discussed in these particular videos, and what do you want the public to know about how it is to be living with HIV? What is the important thing that you feel like that the public should be educated about? So these were some of the things we found in the focus groups. Then with that, we had to get feedback from the community, feedback from our agency, in order to begin developing these videos. So one of the first things we did was the training of the interns. They had HIV 500 501 training from the County Health Department. I also went through that training because I had never been through that before, and it was very, very helpful. Another training that the community agencies required the students and for all of us to go to was a community engagement training. Because if you're going to be speaking to the community or people who are living with HIV/AIDS, you have to be able to talk on a level of not looking down upon them or not being shocked, to keep in mind of the population they were going to be talking to. And they wanted to make sure that our students were prepared. They were pretty upfront and said, "Are you prepared to talk to criminals?" But our students were totally professional. They knew this is public health, and they did a fantastic job. They were also trained to conduct the interviews and the focus groups. We supervised them, but they actually did the training. We did a photo voice component where the participants went out and took pictures about, you know, how it felt to live with HIV/AIDS that were actually displayed in the art gallery in this particular community. That was just some of the pictures, some of our interns going through their training. Mr. Blocker was just outstanding. He's been doing that training for a long time. Some of the things that came up in our focus groups from some of the people was that spread of HIV to the wives and girlfriends. You know, when talking to some of the people, we were asking, do you really think that this is an issue? And a lot of them, quite a few did. They felt like that, yeah, we're fathers, we're brothers, but yet we are still, some of us are bringing this home to our wives and our girlfriends and our babies. And this was from a black male who was living with HIV. Another situation that they felt like needed to be addressed, and I know we all agree with this, is this whole stigma of having HIV. One of the black females living with HIV pointed out, you know, if a person has cancer and they're smoking, but you don't ask, how did you get your cancer? If someone says, you know, I'm living with cancer, you don't say, well, how did you get cancer? And she just said, but you know, the minute they find out you have HIV, that's the first thing they want to know is how you got it. So that was one of the concerns. Another black male, he was saying, well, and you know, most of us were fathers, but right away everybody thinks that HIV is just a gay disease. It's not true. There was a lot of people in our focus groups, they weren't gay, they weren't in prison, they weren't on drugs, but they had HIV. Education was a big issue that they felt needed to be addressed in these videos. You know, knowing that you're not going to get a disease from hugging somebody or from touching somebody. You can go into a restaurant knowing that there might be a person with HIV sitting next to you. You're not going to get the disease that way. One of our 32-year-old black female inmates, she said that when her fellow inmates found out that she had HIV, they would no longer share her pail. They had a pail where they washed their clothes in, and they would pass by and call it her AIDS bucket. They weren't really supposed to reveal that she had HIV, but there was just a particular guard that had it in for her. There was people that want to know that you are more dangerous to me than I am to you. You cannot get HIV from just sitting next to me or having dinner with me, yet you walk into a room and sit down next to me with the flu and cough, and you might kill me. So you are more dangerous to me than I am to you. So these are some things that they felt like the public really needed to know. So we started working on three theme-led videos. And the names of these were come up with by the community and these agencies. They already had it in mind what they wanted to do. Kind of at first when they said, here's what we want these videos, I was kind of in a panic because I know nothing about developing videos. But it's kind of like when you, after down the road, you start working on these, and when you're working with such a wonderful community, it's like, well, I know someone, and I can call someone. Well, I know someone who has experience. And then luckily, when we got down to the nitty-gritty and began having to come up with these films, we had someone come on board that had some experience in doing this. So the first one is called It's a Family Affair. And this, the purpose was to stir up awareness that HIV still existed in this community. They wanted it contextual to that particular community. So to increase awareness about the number of Africans living with it, to decrease the stigma. The second one, wrapping it up, just looking at the reality of unprotected sex and increasing condom use. And the third one was called Mother Mac. Mother Mac is kind of a fictional character, kind of like that Medea, that funny woman in the movies. But they wanted something that was could be serious for the students, but have a little humor in it so that you didn't lose them on there. So these were starting to develop. And as it went along, you know, like I said, someone knew someone. We managed to come up with some more money. So some of our films are going to actually be even extended to where they're in more of a professional type. And this is just some of the planning meetings that we had with the students, developing the approach for the video, the characters, the settings. Even though a lot of these were based on self case studies, a lot of the community did not want to be in the film because they didn't want, you know, naturally the community to identify themselves with this. So we didn't even have professional actors. We had volunteers that were going to do this. And one of the most important things is bringing this back to the community. So what are you going to do with this? You go in, you ask for help to train your students. Well, you have to leave them with something. So this organization will have films for the prison, the community, the schools, and also that extra funding that we got to extend this, it will be shown on a local television station there. And hopefully if it works, I have a little bit of a clip here. I wasn't the one responsible for the videos, right? I think I just clicked on it, right? And we tested it this last night, so it worked, so hopefully it will. Can't hear it too good.
Well,
Sorry you couldn't hear that very well, but that was just a little segment there. Okay. Thank you.